shoot. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy, two-time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, it's Sammy Joe.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Shoot, Salty Saul. What's going down in the PA?
Not a damn thing. I'm not here for long. who said that? That's weird.
I might
be coming home soon, guys.
Nobody
we'll talk about that. All right, so guys, this week, if you thought the left's meltdown when they were told they couldn't talk to five-year-olds about their sex life was bad, wait until you hear how they reacted to the news that Elon Musk wanted to buy Twitter. Oh my God, total meltdown. Also, we're going to talk about China starts a new wave of lockdowns. Have you guys seen these videos?
No.
Fucking scary, dude. Oh, I'm going to show you those videos.
It's next level.
Insane.
Next level.
Also, New York City has a mass shooting.
Terrorist attack. All right, terrorist
attack.
And
white supremacy is to blame, apparently.
Yeah.
And Biden pushes for gun control conveniently in the same week. So we're going to talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show. Well, welcome back. Well, we got a full crew today. Everybody showed up. Nobody had excuse. Well, I mean, Samantha, I don't know what is going on with that hair. I seen your videos. I seen your TikToks and your. I knew it was coming. I know it caught you guys by surprise, but
yeah. So the worst thing is Samantha's been on the last three shows.
Yep,
she's been in this room with us in this
in
studio.
Person.
In person. Mm-hmm. And none of us noticed that she had red hair for the last 4 months.
Don't include me. I was not with her in the same space.
We all knew about the red hair.
I didn't know about the red hair.
Well, I see her all the time on Instagram with, you know, how she does
it. I don't want to play that.
Her face, her whatever, the makeup stuff.
Yeah. So I just apologize for not recognizing the red.
I did see your video. I love your video of, I got, where's my gun? Whenever you... hear something scary.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
That cracked me up.
In the middle of the night, you get up and you're like, I swear I left my gun here somewhere. I was cracking up.
Do you get bored at night?
Gun? I'm just a creator, Tim.
No, because that's not your voice. That's somebody else's voice.
Yeah, but I have to still TikTok do all the actions and all the things and Tim have to like decide how I'm going to do it. Because a lot of people, if you go and click on the audio, you can see that people do different stuff. Like a lot of realtors have been doing it about when they go into vacant houses and like, so you can come up with whatever you want for the audio. It doesn't have to be your words.
So how many takes does it take you to do it before you post it?
Honestly, it just depends on the video, like the wording, the mouth, if I can remember how to say it. And then also like my actions, if it's like, I do something, the camera doesn't catch it, or if it's like weird. So sometimes it's like 5 minutes, other times it's like an hour.
So you do
the way you answer. The way you answer this, Samantha, is an artist never reveals, you know, what goes behind. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you do, right?
So when Saul gets back, we're gonna start doing Salty Show TikToks.
Oh, I love it.
We might get banned. We're gonna get banned, but hey.
That's my goal. No, my goal is I want to get banned. I want to be part of the club.
Oh my gosh.
It's a badge of honor now, guys.
He wants to be on the J Files as being the person most banned from TikTok.
That's a badge. Yeah, exactly. You're right, Tim. All right, Jeremy, what do you got for us on
the J Files?
I kind of like my old intro better.
No, I like this one.
All right.
Oh, wait.
We can't use the old one because it's copyrighted.
Well, we're going to go with you first or Heidi, because I think Heidi had something. She has her book right
you
there.
You want to go
She's
first,
ready.
Heidi? Yeah, do Heidi first.
She wants to give a whole book report. Oh, shit, I'm going to lose my
She's
mind.
She's got it bookmarked and everything. Oh, man.
Seriously, why do we not have a mute button for this asshole?
Oh, I do. It's right here.
Oh, good. Use it, please.
He's done. He's out.
Out loud. Okay, then.
You know I can come through the mic.
And with that being said, all right, I want to talk about two brothers.
Hi.
You know, with all the hate in this world that we have today, and we get into it all the time in the show, so I'm trying to find stuff to kind of lighten it up a little and maybe give us a start of not having such hate and depression and ugliness that's going on in the world. We as a crew aren't like that, but we talk a lot about it. So today I want to just talk about two brothers for a second. So two brothers work together on the family farm. One was married and had a large family. The other was single. At the day's end, the brothers shared everything equally, produce and profit. Then one day, that single brother said to himself, it's not right that we should share equally the produce and the profit. I'm alone, and my needs are so simple. Each night, he took a sack of grain from his bin and crept across the field between their houses, dumping it into his brother's bin. Meanwhile, the married brother said to himself, you know, it's not right that we should share the produce and profit equally. After all, I'm married, and I have my wife and children to look after me in years to come. My brother has no one and no one to take care of his future. So each night, he took a sack of grain and dumped it into his single brother's bin. Both men were puzzled for years because their supply of grain never dwindled. Then one dark night, the two brothers bumped into each other. Slowly, it dawned on them what was happening. They dropped their sacks and embraced one another. You know, if we had a little bit more of that, whether it be brothers and sisters or just neighbors or friends and loved ones out there, maybe there wouldn't be the hate and the grossness that we have going on and the disgust that we have in our lives. And so I just thought maybe that would be a good start for.
So what do you think changed? Because it used to be that way. Now, if you think about it, I mean, family unity was very strong, right? I mean, you think about, you know, immigrant families, right? You being, you know, Guatemalan and, you know, Italian, you know, like we had big families. Like we, you know, when you hear how big your family was and how big my dad's family was, you know, it was huge. And you think about it now, it's like the siblings don't talk to each other. Well, they're always, it's a lot of haterade and then it's all this stuff.
You know, I don't know where I heard this from, but it's so true. I think the biggest wish of a parent is that their children get along, you know, and the biggest pain that you children can cause their parents is when they don't get along. And so, you know, I like that point that you made, Harry. That's a good story. And you're right. You know, there needs to be more of that. And I don't think not just necessarily between, you know, people who are, you know, close family, because, you know, we've said this over and over again is you don't get to choose your family, right? You choose your friends. And so a lot of times your friends are a reflection of who you are. But family is a way of God forcing you to interact with people who you would not normally choose to interact with. So it is a great lesson to, you know, to get along. And so, yeah, it's a great message. I love it. Good shit.
Very good message. But, you know, that brings up a good point, too. Like, you think about the family structure, right? Most of the time, siblings get along. Where do you think majority of the problems come in? A lot of times it comes in from the spouses. The spouses cause a lot of the problems. You know what I mean? Where, no. I mean, yeah. you know, if you have a brother, right? And then their spouse is always chirping and whatever behind your back or whatever, or telling the parents something. It winds up creating friction. Or if she's always in the brother, why do you let your sister talk to you like that? Why are you always doing stuff for your brother? Blah, blah, blah. It winds up always being the outside person because a lot of times people don't marry people with similar backgrounds. You know what I mean? You know, so like if an Italian marries another Italian, everybody just knows how that works. You know what I mean? When the mom cooks for the boy and you still go home and she's like, oh, give me your shirt. I'll iron it for you. You know what I mean? Like they just understand that that's the culture. When you marry kind of outside your culture, you get this weird, like, why is your family like that? Like, oh, I got a big family. Like, why do you always do all that?
And
like,
that, to your point, that probably goes just along with the fact that America is such a melting pot, you know? So traditionally you did kind of stay within your own culture boundaries or whatever. And through time and evolution of just what we've become as a country and as a society, you're kind of marrying and, you know, it was back in the day, it was frowned upon if you married above you or beneath you, right? From a social class standpoint, where there are no standards anymore. There are no expectations and a lot of that, I think, goes back to not saying that that was right or wrong, but it kind of goes back to parents aren't parenting anymore. So now you have the influences of society and schools and the outside people that are now raising children because you're not doing it in your home anymore. And maybe that's, you know, to your point, some of it, the values and the those things aren't there anymore being taught in the home. So now you're you're going to learn whatever you're going to learn out on the outside. And
it was a great article. I mean, I tried taking the advice from last week's article that lasted about 5 minutes.
Gee, I wonder how that happened.
I wasn't going to send an article for an entire day, but it was just too much good stuff. I was like, I can't resist.
What is that? You can lead a horse to water. What is that?
You can't make him drink. Well,
this weekend, you guys probably won't be getting a lot of messages from me. So,
a break. I mean,
no, you're gonna get obnoxious messages at 5 o'clock in the morning, drunk.
I have silenced those so that I don't have them pinging.
Okay. All right, Jeremy. Let's redo this again. What do you have for
the J Files?
I like it.
Dun, dun, dun. All right.
I want one of those.
You want one?
But what is your category? What is his thing?
The mouth.
What is my category?
No. When Tim is like, I want one of those, but I'm like,
he wants one of those, the voice modulators. He wants to be able to talk like this.
Oh, I thought he wanted Nelson to like say his stuff in that. I'm like, what's his stuff?
His intro? His intro. Tim, now your turn. He wants his own segment. He's got the whole fucking show. He talks like the most of the show. I timed it. He's got like so much time.
Oh, really? Not only does he talk a lot, he talks twice because he's Timmy two time.
Well, why did that pick on me? I just said I want a voice modulator. That's all I said. And it turned into pick on me. This is bull crap.
That was Samantha.
You don't like it when you get a taste of your own medicine there?
Exactly.
Nobody does.
Go take a long walk off a short pier.
All right. First story.
Kill yourself.
When a woman lives on cruise ship for free and spends less than $40 a week. Kristen Kestelou from the Netherlands spends half of each year cruising and has been sailing on and off for the past 12 years. She used to be a cruise and travel director until she lost her job in 2020 as a result of this pandemic. But that hasn't stopped her from living the cruise life. Her husband still works on a cruise ship as the chief engineer.
Oh, that's why.
And Christine is known as a WOB, or wife on board.
Oh.
It means she doesn't have to pay to live on the floating home. Of the what?
Sorry, Samantha was thinking nasty again.
Oh, okay. It means she doesn't have to pay to live on her floating home, and Christine and her husband's weekly costs come in at about $85 a week. Someone say, I live like I'm on vacation every day. And I do, she admitted. Every day, I'm in a new place, and my biggest decision is whether to go out for tea time, lie in the sun, or do some wine tasting. While living this life of decadence, Christina only has to fork out $20 a week for internet access, $10 a week in tips for her room steward. I'm trying to keep our room tidy, but we always have a wonderful room steward who comes in each day, Christine explained. He vacuums, changes the sheets, dusts, cleans our small bathroom, and leaves us fresh towels.
That's what they're supposed to do.
Okay, yeah.
That's what they do on a cruise.
But so apparently, work on there, why does they don't they have like a crew cabin that's like doesn't have those type of amenities?
Yeah, I'm like, you're not paying for her.
Well, so he's a chief engineer, so he's one of the higher ups. So here it says the room steward is a perk of the higher ranking officers on the ship, and we choose to always leave him a tip.
Mm-hmm.
Her laundry is also done on a daily basis free of charge, meaning her only remaining expenditures is meals at specialty restaurants on the ship.
She better be putting out because there's no reason for her to be him be married to her.
No,
there's
shit. Nothing.
I don't know what to say about
no cook, no clean, no nothing. No
I don't
sex,
know. I don't
no
know if she's putting priorities. Out. I don't know.
Throw her overboard.
The article doesn't go into that. You can get by without paying for food on the ship. There are a whole host of free dining options available, but there's a wide selection, including, you know, a buffet, pizza, hamburgers, hot dogs, ice cream, and sushi. Basically anything you can dream of.
Yeah.
But Christine and her husband like to splash it out from time to time. Okay. We pay for food only when we decide to dine at one of the ship's specialty restaurants, which usually costs between $20 and $50 a person. We usually tip about $5 or $10. So in total, she calculates that they spend around $87 a week. So $43.50 each.
Dude.
Wow.
Come on. And even that minimal expenditure is when optional.
When you started, when you read the headline, I was like, oh shit. How do I
like a hobo or something like that?
Get this deal right. Literally on my first note, I was like, I'm about to write this down. Marry the chief engineer. That's what I was like. Okay, well, like,
yes, but think about it. That's a misleading headline. Like you would think that, like, no, it's misleading because you're thinking like, oh, what's this crazy story? Like, so how'd she pull this off? Like, was she grandfathered into something from years ago? Won some sweepstake that she's, pay X amount of dollars for life and you can live on a cruise ship?
Clickbait.
No. That's exactly what it is. That was major clickbait. Like, I'm very upset by that article.
Oh, wow. Wasn't there a woman that in retirement, she chose to live on cruise ships because it was cheaper monthly for her to take cruise after cruise after cruise because they have like the 3 month or the 4 week, 3 week or 4 weeks cruises. And so she chose to just jump from one cruise to ship to the other because it was less expensive to do that than to live in like an assisted living or have a condo in a townhome. Wow. I mean, I think Mirma's expenditures are like $3,500 or $3,800 a month for her ordeal. Well, I mean, the four week cruise the one I'm going on next summer I don't remember how long it was. I know the one month we were looking at was like $4,000. Wait, well, what the hell's the difference?
For a month? I don't think
because that was the one we were going to do. And it was like a 14 day or 15 day.
Yeah, it wasn't.
So flying, we had to fly out because it was overseas.
The thing is that she's
probably not
accounting for how much she's going to tip the artist who's going to paint her naked. Right. Because
with that red diamond on her.
Yeah. Blue sapphire.
Was it blue?
Yeah, was it blue diamond or blue sapphire?
You gotta
whatever.
Take that into consideration, guys. I mean,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it happened
during COVID. I mean, all the ships, you can't sail. So
she lost her job.
What were they doing?
She was docked.
I would assume her
husband was docked too.
So I know Samantha, my girlfriend Samantha in Florida said that they still had to man the ships. And if he's a chief engineer, he couldn't be land. So what they were doing during the COVID time is they were changing them out to keep the numbers low on the ship. So the engineers would like rotate out, be on land for however, like 2 weeks and then on the ship for 2 weeks. And they were rotating them that way. So I would imagine as the chief engineer, he had to have been stuck on that ship for however many.
That makes sense. But yeah. Maybe she had to go off because
it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess.
Who knows?
Yeah,
who knows? Yeah.
Who cares? Makes no, wow. No.
The kind of money he's making, I'm sure that they have some luxurious, gorgeous home in some.
Well, why? If you're living on a boat for most of your
life. They still, like I said, they still rotate them off the ship.
But this poor bastard, okay? He's sitting there
how's
on
he a poor
boat.
Bastard?
Because he's on a boat, okay? He's on a boat, close quarters. His wife is just always there. He can't be like, hey, hon, I'm going to work. She's just always there. You know what I mean? At least like if she was working on a cruise ship and he's working on a different one, it's like, oh, all right, we'll sync up in a week after, our tour is done. You know what I mean? But now she's just there and you can't get away from her.
Yeah, but not everybody thinks that way.
Yeah. Some couples are happily married, Tim. Jesus.
Yeah. During COVID, I realized that I could actually survive with my husband without it locked in a house. Like, no.
He's going to have nightmares.
Like, that was a serious fear. I was like, oh my God, when the kids are gone, I'm going to be just with him. Holy shit. Then what?
Don't tell anybody that you can't live with me.
The Titanic soundtrack in the back.
Jack.
That was pretty good. Do that again.
That was a bad though.
Let him
come back. Come back.
All right. Next story. Tough. You ready? Next story.
Hopefully, it's better than the first one.
Jesus.
Go away, Tim. No one wants you here, anyways. Let me mute you. Teenager asks Elon Musk.
This fucker muted me.
I did not mute you.
He muted me.
Oh, he's hurt.
Unmute. I won't talk.
You're not muted.
Oh.
For crying out loud.
Okay. Anyways, you want to shut up so he can get to the article?
Teenager asks Elon Musk for $50,000 to delete Twitter account tracking the billionaire's private jet.
Right.
Phone's on silent, Jeremy.
It's, yeah, sorry about that.
Every show.
Hold on. All right, finish the story because I'm like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah, hold. Yeah,
okay. This one's been going around for a long time.
Yeah, this was a little over. Back in February, a teenager asked Elon Musk for $50,000 after the billionaire requested that the youngster delete a Twitter bot which tracked his private jet. The 19-year-old Jack Sweeney turned down the initial offer of $5,000 to shut down the @ElonJet account, saying the payment wouldn't replace the satisfaction he received from running it. The SpaceX Tesla chief described the tracker, which uses publicly available air traffic information as a potential threat to his safety. The University of Florida student described himself as a fan of Mr. Musk and said that he would, he had created the bot as it would reveal what business is going on and where he is going. Mr. Sweeney has launched similar accounts tracking the planes of Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos. The account states that they track the aircraft, not who may or may not be on board. Mm. Kind of a Jeffrey Epstein.
I was about to say, where's that
thing? Jeffrey.
He's alive.
Mr. Sweeney shared a direct message from Mr. Musk in which the tycoon said, "Can you take this down? It is a security risk. I don't love the idea of being shot by a nutcase," he adds. So I don't know. Do you think Elon's a little out of line saying he's going to get shot by a nutcase just because?
Not right now.
No, not right now. Not how the left is reacting. No.
Okay. Eventually, Mr. Musk said, "How about $5,000 for this account and generally help me? Help make it harder for crazy people to track me." At this point, the teenager tried to upsell any chance to up that to $50,000. It would be great support in college and would possibly allow me to get a car, maybe even a Model 3.
Why must just give him a car?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a lot easier here. I'll give you a Tesla if you take it.
I mean, somebody else is just going to do it. And so it just becomes perpetual.
But, exactly.
So what's interesting about this kid was after when the Ukraine stuff happened, like when, you know, Russia decided to, you know, claim what was theirs, the kid started tracking, using the same thing to track all the Russian oligarchs' planes and whatnot, and giving it to the government saying, "Hey, they're over here now. Go get them."
The government knew that. The billionaire eventually declined, explaining it didn't feel right to pay to shut down the account, right? To your point. The teenager said he had made the correspondence public to try to reopen negotiations with Mr. Musk, whether for an increase of the initial monetary offer or an internship.
That
kid's going to wake up with a horse head.
Give him
an internship. I would think that would be valuable to his talent would be valuable.
So Elon Musk bought Twitter so he didn't have to pay the shithead.
He's going to close his account
down. He doesn't want to pay.
He's like, give me $50,000. I'll let your account live.
I'll just buy Twitter for $5 billion and
he bought Twitter and hired the kid to come in and
he made a play for Twitter. He made an offer.
Well, you know what they say.
It was
don't negotiate with terrorists. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, and to your point, Saul, if he pays this kid to do it, there's going to be 20 more kids doing the exact same thing, waiting to get their $50K payout. And it's just like you can't do that. Don't pay the terrorists.
Well, Iron Man can just send a couple of satellite, put a couple of weapons up on a satellite and be like, "Oh, he's right over there." Bam, done. I don't know what happened. Starlink went down.
Terrible. I like it. I like that he decided to. And so let's, do you guys want to talk about that? Let's talk about the Twitter thing. Or do you have another story, Jeremy?
Yeah. No, that's all I got. Close me out.
The J-Files.
That's what I'm going to be saying at the casino. Close me out.
You never say close me out. You just wait till you run out of money.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. All right. Let's get to this. So it's been a crazy week. And actually, it's been a crazy few years. So in the world of politics, I'm referring to, man, COVID, all that bullshit. However, a glimmer of hope for all of you free speech advocates out there, Elon Musk announced
that he had made an offer to buy Twitter. Now we had been speculating. Everybody has been rumoring that this was going to happen. And, you know, so what he plans to do, he wants to convert the company into a private company. And so he can, what he's calling, unlock the free speech potential of Twitter. And so a lot of the people online were like, man, this is basically checkmate, you know, not just necessarily on that kid, but it's checkmate on the left, who for years has been saying, you know, whenever conservatives complain, because, you know, a lot of conservatives get removed and permanently banned. Hello, our former president is permanently banned from Twitter. And so,
Alex,
you know,
Jones.
So a lot of leftists are saying, well, you know, go and make your own platform. Go ahead and start your own platform. Well, here's the guy, the richest guy in the world by a lot. And he says, hey, you know what? Guess what? I'm going to buy it and I'm going to promote free speech to the, you know, obviously legal. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to show you some of those videos where he talks about that. But he admitted that the reason he wants to buy Twitter is because he considers it the, what he called, the de facto town square. And it's true, right? We live in an era, a time when information is like this, right? I mean, think about it, man, guys. Before, you know, think about the Pony Express. Think about how long news took to get somewhere, right?
Think about dial-up.
Yeah. Now, so with information today, you know, when if the left is able to propagate their message really quick or their lies quickly, and the right can't react, it's unfair because the left dominates the social media platforms. And so here is, again, the richest guy in the world who I don't think he's on the right. However, he does, you know, advocate for free speech. He's always been, you know, talking about this. And so, you know, here is an opportunity for the right to at least have a voice and to not be censored. And the left rears in freaking panic. They're in panic mode right now. What were you going to say, Jeremy?
So I was going to ask for some questions about the purchase. I heard he bought 9%, 14%, something like that,
he
of the stock.
9.2% to about what, last 2 weeks. So in the beginning, at the end of March, he bought it, and it got disclosed at the beginning of April when the SEC filings were, you know, were due. So everybody was like, oh my God, Elon Musk actually did it. Like, he is the control. He's the majority stakeholder of Twitter.
As the majority stakeholder, he gets to make decisions like privatizing the company?
No. So what happened was, after he bought the 9.2% and he was the largest shareholder, right? Because you can't make decisions based on just being the largest shareholder, right? Because you you have to do proxy, you have to do votes and all this stuff. But what happened was they offered him a seat on the board, right? But what came with that was he couldn't own, if he became a member of the board, he couldn't own more than 14.9% of the shares. Through 2024, which is really odd that it was through 2024, ironically. Okay. He also needed to do a background check to be on the board. And they told him that, you know, he wasn't allowed to tweet anything about Twitter. And he was like, this is goes against the whole reason why wanted to get involved in this. Like, my whole goal is to sit there and make change in free speech and making this a free platform and all this.
So I wanted to read his letter so that way you guys can know what he actually said to them. So let me read the letter here. So he said, Brett Taylor, chairman of the board, I invested in Twitter as I believe in its potential to be the platform for free speech around the globe. And I believe free speech is a societal imperative for functioning democracy. However, since making my investment, I now realize the company will neither thrive nor serve the societal imperative in its current form. Twitter needs to be transformed as a private company. As a result, I'm offering to buy 100% of Twitter for, you're going to like this, $5.420 per share. He likes that 420. So $54.20 per share in cash. A 54% premium over the day before I began investing in Twitter, and a 38% premium over the day before my investment was publicly announced. My offer is my best and final offer. And if it's not accepted, I would need to reconsider my position as a shareholder. And he says, Twitter has extraordinary potential. I will unlock it. Okay. So he, right there, he clearly stated why he wants to do it. And to Tim's point, I think he realized that, you know, by becoming a member of the board, he was going to go through all this scrutiny and all these hurdles that he would get through, and he would still be muffled. So to me, and like I said, we speculated about this 2 weeks ago, right? Or whenever he, and so, you know, we just said that the next step would have been to buy. And to me, you know, I think that's a great move for him. I think it's a great move for free speech. It's a good move.
So, going back to what he did, he buys control, basically the majority of the stock. He gets on the board, and now he brings it to the board of this offer to the board, and then the board has to vote on it. And of course, once they vote, if they do approve it, it's a private company now. He can get rid of all of them. But of course, they're getting a big ass cash out, right? So they don't necessarily care. They can go be a board of something else.
Well, he was talking about privatizing it, but also keeping on some of those shareholders on board, not necessarily kicking them all out. And
okay.
Right. And so and what he said was until up to what was legally accepted, you know, to have. And so I don't know if his goal would be to kick all of them out. I know definitely the King of Saudi.
Well, I mean, obviously
of Saudi.
Some of them he's going to have to get rid of it because they're the idiots that are running the thing into the, whatever. They're the ones that are screwing it up. So,
yeah. So, but again, the board now, when he announces that, right, he made the offer. So this is a legal binding. This is a legal offer. So at this point, Twitter just can't ignore it, right? So now Twitter has their lawyers have to get involved. They have to alert the board. The board's got to, you know, call a meeting, and the board's all got to talk. But one of the comments was from the CEO was like, "We know what's good for Twitter, and we're going to keep control." You know, he kind of like told the employees like, "We're in control of this," but really, you're not, dude. You're board, you know, the shareholders are in control of this, right? So like you got to let the shareholders, you got to do what's right for the shareholders, because me investing in the company is about making money, because they're talking about doing the poison option, which would be basically dilute the stock and open up more shares. So people like Vanguard and BlackRock, who are the majority stakeholders now on top of with Elon Musk, to buy more at a discounted price. So now it'll take the stock from 46 or whatever it is, 46 right now, bring it down to, let's say, 30, like just hypothetically, right? Bring it down to 30. So now you're basically dissuading Elon Musk or any other potential bidders from buying the stock, and you keep control of it. But then that also got out of control because Elon Musk was tweeting about it. He's like, if you don't let people vote on this, you're letting your shareholders, if you don't do what's right for your shareholders and that they're in the business of making money, you're basically committing fraud. And all of a sudden, then Twitter came out, you know, from the rumors was that Twitter's board actually went back and said, you know, told everybody we're actually considering this because their plans are all being.
So Twitter closed at 45.
I know. I bought it at 47 today.
Idiot. Yeah. So, yeah. So if he's offering 54.20, that's.
It was $9.
25%.
So it was $9 more per share than it was selling the day before he made the offer. So, Tim's point, if they deny that, that is essentially, to Tim's point, it's bad business. It's bad for the shareholders, you know, and there could be legal ramifications. Not only that, think about it. The stock went up because of the announcement, right? Obviously, people like that. People like that Elon Musk would take control. If Elon Musk were to leave and cut his losses or whatever, that's bad. The Twitter tanks. They will.
Good.
And so that's, good for free speech, bad for people who invested, bad people for people who are the shareholders. It's, again, it's bad business.
Bad for me, damn it.
I don't care. You're the idiot.
So why do we think we can just trust him with this propaganda
site? Good point. So that's one of the things going around, and people are like, hey, guys, remember, this is the same guy that has this thing called Neuralink, where he basically wants to implant chips in humans and take over their thought process, right? So they can process at, you know, superhuman speed. So people are like, well, if he buys Twitter, now to your point, can you trust him? Is he going to somehow bake Twitter into Neuralink to where now...
I mean, he's doing a great job of saying the right words, free speech, and everybody's going to, and yada, yada. But I mean, like, let's look at the history and what he's in business for and what he has said.
What do we have to lose if he just defaults back to what it's already been? You see what I'm saying? Like, there's really nothing to lose here from a free speech advocate. You support the guy and he turns out to be a dud, to your point, Heidi. We're back where we started. But
what's he doing with the data?
What he's advocating for is for the platform to be open source, meaning that he wants to open up the algorithms, put it out there for anybody to scrutinize, for anybody to see, you know, what are the algorithms? And I think even if he just does that, let's say he goes back to whatever, everything censoring, but if he at least reveals the algorithms that show that whatever is trending, in quotation marks, is not really trending, and it is people who are manually manipulating this and trying to show that, hey, this guy is popular, or they're promoting Biden, because I always get Biden's tweets, even though I'm not fucking following the guy, I still always see Biden's tweets. So they're obviously promoting him, okay? So, and I think if they just reveal that, or if they get rid of that, that is a good thing, because it would be the truth of what it really is popular. And I think, to the point I always make, our ideas are popular, folks. The only way that they can win is if they manipulate the systems and they control all of the social media platforms. And so if they just do it on Twitter, I think it's a win.
Oh, for this specific thing, I'm all in on this. Like, he's the only, if you think about it, he's the only one that's taking his own money. He's not getting other people's money. He was putting his own money down to buy this. So, you know, we all say, you know, people talk the talk, walk the walk. He's walking the walk. I'm sorry. I mean, so, and at this point, the enemy of my enemy at this point is my friend. And we'll deal with this other stuff later, because as soon as he announced this, guess what happened? Apparently the DOJ came out and said, oh, well, shoot, Elon Musk is now under investigation for Tesla and SpaceX. Like, huh? Like, so they're starting to throw things out to start targeting his other core businesses, because they're like, oh, we need to look at his government contracts, because, you know, something doesn't seem right with this all of a sudden. Yeesh. I'm like, the guy's putting people up in space. He's doing what you can't do. So stop it. You know, he's doing everything right. So they're trying to throw things out there, or leak information or whatnot, you know, the boogeyman, so that maybe he pulls back. You can't control this guy. This guy is uncontrollable at this point. Sorry. He's the richest man in the world. He's done it all legally. What are you going to do? What are you going to get on him? He's going to make your life a living hell. He basically, and you know, it's interesting, you know, listening to like Posobiec and Cernovich today on War Room, and even on Posobiec show, basically Posobiec was like, a lot of experts basically said he just declared war on the regime and the globalists. He fired the first shot and said, take that, because what comes next, you're going to reveal yourself one way or another. You're revealing yourself.
They've already started squealing. I mean, if you would have looked at the a majority of the journalists out there, they were beside themselves at, oh my God, the richest man in the world is going to control one of the free platforms. Oh, this is dangerous.
Who the hell do they think's running it now?
But they all cheered.
Let me share my screen.
But they cheered. Free.
WAPO. They all cheered.
Let me share this right here. It shows you. Right? Do you guys see my screen?
Yeah.
Right. And so you can see the millionaires and billionaires who owned the majority of the news agencies. I mean, the top news agencies out there. Nobody complained about that. Nobody was... Oh, this is dangerous.
I can't tell who those people are.
All right, so Jeff Bezos. Yeah,
Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos, Washington Post.
Yep. Okay.
John Henry.
Chicago Tribune.
The Boston Globe.
It's blurry on our side. That's why we're not able to...
Let me See if I can maximize this for you guys. Can you guys see this?
Yeah. No, it's just the...
Yeah, it's hopeless. Okay, so...
Just read it.
Yeah, and the problem is that my eyesight is fucking failing too, so let me see here.
Oh my God.
I'll read on my screen. So then, and then there's another guy, Sheldon Adelson. He owns the Las Vegas Review Journal and another billionaire. Lauren Powell, worth $20 billion, owns The Atlantic. Patrick Soon-Shiong.
So that's the owner of The Atlantic is Steve Cook. The guy that, who started Apple? Steve Jobs is
Ballmer.
That's his widow.
Steve Ballmer.
Oh, wow. Jobs, yeah.
That's Steve Jobs' wife. That's who bought The Atlantic.
There you go.
Oh, I'm going to go buy a paper after. Yeah.
And this is just a little glimpse of all the billionaires who own news agencies. And these are the news agencies that are supposed to be, unbiased against every one of them. And guess what they're not going to do? They're not going to publish bad stories. So please spare me your fake outrage. It's fake outrage. They're scared that now, again, speech that they don't like cannot be censored. And so to me, folks, to the Washington Post's own motto, democracy dies in darkness. When you suppress free speech, you kill quote unquote democracy. So then, Elon gets into a Twitter war with the extremists in Saudi Arabia.
Oh yeah, this is great.
So on the same day he announced the offer, he went on TED. But let me show you this little Twitter exchange, because it's worth reading, that he had with the Saudi Arabia prince, who owns a piece of Twitter, okay, a share. So the guy's name is Al-Waleed Talal, and he tweets a bunch of shit, but let me read. Why does that look like a big old dick?
I just thought the same thing.
That's not right.
Wow. I thought it looked like a bong.
Whatever. You were salivating. Anyway,
oh my gosh.
Tim told me to say that. I was like, no, I don't want it. He's like, do a little bit. So I had to say.
So before you read that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Samantha, what do you take of all this? With Musk buying, with the potential hostile takeover. What's your take on it?
Well,
first of all, the fans want to know what your Twitter handle is so they can follow you.
I don't even think I know what it is. It's probably still Sincerely Sammy. Try to keep it consistent throughout, a little bit. No, but I was on the same page as Heidi for a second. They'd be like, okay, like this is great, like because it's different, but like what happens, if this person then, says all these things and doesn't follow through with their actions, but then you came back and were like, made a great point to say, hey, it would just go back to the shit it is. So, I'm like for it because it's for change, but we all know that's how a lot of great things start with like people being like, hey, I want this. And this is, we're going to make this change. And then other people start jumping on board, whispering in, and then it becomes something that it totally wasn't before. So if he could pull it off, like.
Tim, down give, her the line, give her the line that I always say, which is. You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And I think at this point, he's still a hero. And to your point, Tim, Trump was like that for me. When I voted for Trump in 2016, I held my nose, man. I was like, this motherfucker, I don't know if I can stomach him. Again, I got into this big old debate with my sister where she like freaking stormed out of the room yelling, man. She's like, he's going to be a great guy. And I was like, the fucking guy is like narcissist and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but I'm going to vote for him, but he's a fucking crazy.
He's still all those things.
He's still all those things. But he did fucking amazing shit. And so to me, if you want to, I don't know. I think you measure people by what they do. And so far, in my opinion, he's done a lot of good things. Can't take that away from him. So let me read some of this. All right. So then the prince of one of the princes from Saudi Arabia says, I don't believe that the proposed offer by Elon Musk comes close to the intrinsic value of Twitter, given its growth prospects. So anyways, he opposes it. Right now, Elon Musk being the Trump of social media or Twitter for now, because Trump is still out. decides to comment on this dildo post. And he says, interesting. Just two questions, if I may. Again, this is to the king, Prince of Saudi Arabia. How much of Twitter does the kingdom own? Oof. Directly and indirectly, meaning how many people have you got? And then what he says, what are the kingdom's views on journalistic freedom of speech? I love that. I love that because guess what? Hypocrisy of these fucking extremist countries that censor their people, oppress their people, and they want to talk about, oh, this is, shut the fuck up. Sit down with your little shares. Yeah, Tim.
So what I love about this, right, this exchange, but just in general of what, you know, the complete meltdown that we've seen in the last 2 weeks from just him buying 9.2 shares to him all the way till now with him saying, I want to buy the entire company is, you're starting to see you're starting to see who the actual owners are, right? Because most people don't go out of their way. They don't even care. Like, oh, everybody, you know. But now you start realizing like, oh, Luke, let's look at who the major shareholders are. BlackRock, Vanguard, Saudi Arabia. Huh. Starting to see a trend. Wow. What does that sound like? Sounds like what we've been talking about in drips and drabs, where we've been sprinkling in, talking about the Great Reset and, you know, Vanguard and BlackRock buying up everything, right? So now you're exposing it. But now you see Saudi Arabia's involved and you go, huh, what's up with all this censoring going on? Oh, that's right. They censor everybody over there. Well, they kill them, basically, if you get out of line.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Well, we see that going on over here. So we make the terms of service not based on what's good for America, because this is an American company. We base it on who is pulling the strings at, from a shareholder perspective. And if the Saudis are the largest shareholder or like China, we're going to kiss their ass. Starts making sense real quick right now when people go, oh, that'll never happen in America. No, it already has. You've been sold out.
Well, just in the name of capitalism. And I don't want to change the subject, but I just want to point this to your point, Tim. Think about what happened. I mean, just a few weeks ago, we were talking all about Disney. What happened to Disney? Yeah. Quiet. Guess why? China came out and told them, stop talking about the gays. And Disney was like, oh, yes, master. They fucking bowed down to China. All that China had to do was just stop talking about the gays, and Disney goes complete quiet.
Well, wasn't it one of their movies that...
It was the Harry Potter...
That had the gay, like some gay...
Dumbledore. Yeah, it was a big thing. The new Harry Potter... It's not Harry Potter. It's the Fantastic Beasts or whatever.
Yeah.
The new Fantastic Beast movies, China said they deleted all the gay references in there.
Cut it out. And people are like, wait a minute here.
That's not Disney, though. That would be Warner Brothers.
Or whoever, because everybody was all up in arms like, oh, don't say gay, don't say gay. Yeah. How come they're not canceling Warner Brothers for that?
I'm confused. What do you mean they canceled out anything?
They cut it out. They cut out the gay references. The scenes. Please, China.
They edited the movie to remove what they didn't like.
But I don't remember in Fantastic Beasts where it talked about gay.
Well, this is the new movie. And I guess in theory...
The new one, because China always gets the movies before us. Go figure. Made in America, but China gets it first.
These are probably made in England.
Yeah,
these... Whatever. But anyways. Dumbledore is supposed to be gay.
What?
Yeah. The lady who wrote the books mentioned that years ago in some press conference. They were like... Somebody in the group asks, do you think Dumbledore... You know, why doesn't... Would Dumbledore ever get married? And she said, she's like, oh, I've always kind of considered him to be gay. So she said that years... What's her name?
I don't know.
J.K. Rowling.
Rowling, right. She said it years ago when Harry Potter was like the thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, but long story short is whoever the producer of the movie house was, they edited out any references to the gay stuff to please China, because China said, take it out. But where was the cancellation from the left on that? Where was the uproar? Like, oh my God, no. Because all these leftists love China. This is how you know they are all lying, scumbag pieces of trash.
Not only
when they
that,
say
Tim,
something,
not
hypocrites.
Continue to your point, which is, I'm going to show you these videos happening in China that very little people, the clips that I'm going to show you on this, what's happening in Shanghai today, you would think this should be on CNN nonstop. This should be on all the major news networks reporting human on what's happening. Human rights violations. I'm not just talking about them being locked down. I'm talking about being killed. These videos are alarming, folks, and it's scary. And what should concern you is that the Western news media is conveniently hiding this from you. They are. They aren't reporting this. They should be reporting this nonstop. But see, what's happening is, remember what happened in early 2020 when we started seeing videos of China, you know, body bags, people in hazmat suits. It created a panic in the United States. And initially, when we all thought, we were like, well, what the hell? Why the fuck is China doing that? And so we all bought it. And we were like, yeah, we got to do it, because China, if China's doing it, then something's really going on. They're trying the same fucking tactics again. And so this shit is coming now to the Western media. And now people are like, oh, shit, we got to go back to lockdowns. Lockdowns are coming again, folks. You think that?
No.
That they're coming. And so.
No.
But mask mandates in Philly.
Yeah.
Mask mandates got reinstituted in Philly.
Ain't going to happen.
Mass civil disobedience at this point. Anybody that goes along with this. I don't give a shit if somebody's like, you can't say no. Bullshit. At this point, Fauciism is dead. Fauciism, you cannot listen to him. You cannot listen to Moderna. You can't listen to the Biden. They lied to you. They lied to you. You know who had your best interest in heart? Papa Ron down in Florida, okay? Mm. He kept it open. He protected the vulnerable. Even with vaccines, he made it available for everybody, but he made sure that the most vulnerable got it first, okay? At this point, you got to own your own health. Stop being a little bitch and just take accountability for yourself. People are going to die regardless. Does that mean you stop your life? You stop driving your car because you could die. More people die in a car accident every year than they do of COVID. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right on that.
No, you're right.
I know I'm right on that. So everybody that's afraid of COVID, just stay home. Don't drive.
Yeah, lock your doors.
I love the fact that if you do that, I will not have to see your dumb ass on the roads.
Driving in a car by yourself with a mask on, you
idiots. Just stay home, lock the door.
I did want to play some clips of Elon. I feel at least we owe him that to play some of his. Or do you guys want to
move let's on? Do it.
Let's blow through him.
Yeah. So let me show you these clips, because this is where I think for a long time he has been supportive of these. And that's why, you know, I give him the benefit of doubt, which is what I did with Trump. And I think that was a good approach to take. So, let me play this video here. He went, because on the same day he announced, he went on a TED conference to discuss it. And here he is talking about, you know, making it Twitter open source. So let me play this video.
I think it's very important for there to be an inclusive arena for free speech where all, Twitter has become kind of the de facto town square. It's really important that people have both the reality and the perception that they are able to speak freely within the bounds of the law. One of the things that I believe Twitter should do is open source the algorithm and make any changes to people's tweets, you know, if they're emphasized or de-emphasized, that action should be made apparent so anyone can see that action has been taken. So there's no sort of behind-the-scenes manipulation, either algorithmically or manually.
Again, even if he just does that, I think it's a win. Even if it just reveals, you know, and I want to say this about, let me hold on, Jeremy. I didn't want to say this about Elon Musk. And a lot of people are tweeting this, and it's so true. Elon Musk has become America's favorite African American today. Which is because he's from South Africa.
You took the words out of my mouth, goddammit.
That's the American story, dude. He embodies the American story because an immigrant moves to the United States and is now the richest man in the world. Where in the world can that happen if not in this country? And
like watching Coming to America.
Beautiful thing, man. It's such a beautiful thing. And a lot of people were talking about, well, man, we need to be able to make him president. You know, I still think that, you know, only a citizen should be
negative.
President. But
yeah, negative.
But
negative.
You know, I think he's becoming that big of a figure. And he's barely starting, you know. Imagine when he gets us to the moon. Imagine when he gets us to AI. Imagine when he gets us to autonomous vehicles. Imagine when he gets us. You see what I'm saying? Like he is the Bruce Wayne of our time. He is the Iron Man of our time.
He Tony is. Stark. You know who he reminds me of is
Tony Stark.
Hey, Hughes. Howard Hughes.
Yes.
Have you guys ever seen the movie The Aviator?
Yeah, Howard Hughes.
It's like a 3-hour long movie. It's great.
And he's pissing in jars?
He reminds me, Yeah. He reminds me of Howard Hughes, right? Started out with nothing and just built his empire over and over again. And he fought against the machine and they chipped away at, they chipped away at him, but he came back and just built it all over again. They chipped away at it some more and he just kept building and kept building. And it, that reminds me of Elon Musk, right? He's getting to the part where he's pissing people off and they're trying to chip away at him, but it's, he's just going to make more and more money on it.
Right.
So what's interesting was, you know, cause this was what everybody was, you know, kind of, you know, like on, you know, on Bannon's show earlier, he had Posobiec and again, Cernovich on there. And this started with, you know, Elon putting out a tweet and Cernovich was like, you should buy Twitter. And he listed, he's like, you know, they ban conservatives, but you know, they allowed the Covington hoax to play out. They allowed the Jesse Smollett hoax to play out. And he's like, huh? Because yeah, it does seem a little, you know, unbalanced. And then Posobiec chimed in and said, buy it and make it private and take it private. And the way Cernovich explained it today was actually pretty interesting. He's like, you know, for people like us, right? We could get an idea. It'll take about a year to for us to even process it and maybe act on it. And he's like, Elon Musk, you know, is so smart and so like the way he processes things. He's like, he processed that thing in probably, you know, 5 minutes and said, oh, yeah, good idea. Let's do it. You know, because he understood the risk rewards and, you know, he saw the 15 different things in his head because he was probably already thinking about it, to be honest with you, you know, from the Babylon Bee. But his processing is
then
probably,
again, he's worth $223 billion.
Yeah, but you just, I mean,
go buy whatever you want.
Right. But like, no, but look at it in a, you know, bring it down to our level, right? Do you just say, hey, I'm going to go buy a $2,000 watch? Even, you know, I have $10,000 in the bank, but I'm going to buy a $2,000 watch. You go, probably not. I want to.
No,
make
but
sure
you
I
go,
have.
I'll buy a $200 watch because.
Right.
All right. There's
but it stays
a comparison
within
there.
You're not going to go piss away $43 billion. Regardless, we say, well, you have.
Is that what they think it'll sell for? $43 billion?
I mean, I'm sorry, 54 billion or whatever.
Yeah, 54.20
is what he wants to pay for. So
well, that's per share.
Yeah, there's 100 shares.
Or yeah, it's 50 shares. Some or 40 some billion. I forget what the number is.
40
some,
okay.
Yeah. Right. So, but think about it. It's
or whatever.
To say I'm going to spend $46 billion on something, it's kind of like,
but the thing is, okay.
Waste
so
it.
You back to that point, he's not going to waste it. If he spends $42 billion on Twitter, he will make billions of dollars off of that. He's not throwing it's like he's buying a watch and then taking it out into the garage and hitting it with a hammer. He's buying a watch and he's using it to make more watches or more whatever, right? He's not throwing it away.
It's not a pet project. So but what I'm saying is if you're going to give up a quarter of your wealth to do this, you're doing it to make it work, right? Yeah, he said he's like, it's not about the money. When you spend $43 billion, it's always about money at the end of the day.
He is about money. There's
he's going to spend $43 billion, but he's going to make $86 billion.
Right. And when he decides to sell it to whoever, that, you know, he'll make his money back plus more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's not to say that down the road, he'll privatizes
it,
keeps it that way for 20 years, or whatever, and he goes public again and he makes all of that money back or even more, right?
Just bring back Trump. I just want to see Trump tweet.
I just want free speech available on
honestly,
all these platforms.
I just want to see Trump
that's
tweet
the question.
All of it by.
That's the question is after if this goes through is what is going to be Trump's first tweet? Because he knows he's going to get reinstated.
Thank you, Elon is probably going to be his first
tweet.
But
here's the thing. Even if Trump gets reinstated, Trump gets reinstated, he might not actually use it because he's had all these opportunities to get on Getter, Gab,
he'll use it.
Parler.
He'll use it.
There's way too many people there.
They might have told him when they kicked him off and said, look, dude, you can't use any of the alternatives or we're going to do X, Y, and Z. You know, there might have been some clause to something.
Wait.
It doesn't matter. Elon Musk.
Remember, they were going to impeach him, right? Did he get impeached again for that? No, they decided not to impeach him.
No, they didn't.
Right? So McConnell and everybody, they wanted to 25th them. Apparently, Lindsey Graham basically told him, if you don't go out and put out a video condemning this right now, we're 25thing your ass. That's the only reason why Donald Trump went out there, because he's like, I didn't do anything wrong. But anyway, that's hearsay. That's from books that had things quoted. But they might have told him when after January 6th and whatever else said, you can't go on any platform. They might have told him that as part of this whole deal. People pulling the strings in Washington, D.C., like McConnell.
Yeah, because he cared really about that the last 4 years.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, you really think that he gives a fuck what any of them have to say? Excuse my French. I don't.
There might have been legal.
Let's take a guess, guys. We're going to do guesses here. Heidi, what do you think is going to be Trump's first tweet when he gets back on?
DeSantis for president?
I would love to see that pop around for president. But no, I think, God, it would be amazing if he came back and went, I'm back, bitches.
Okay, I'm back, bitches. Tim, what do you think he's going to say?
Either you miss me yet, or your favorite president's back. You know, typical Trump stuff.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think, Tim? Jeremy?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, I hope it's thank you, Elon.
Oh, okay. You think he's going
to
thank you?
Trump can't give credit to nobody.
Well, you're right. That's why I'm saying I'm hoping, but.
Samantha, what do you think he's going to say?
Take
a wild guess. What do you think he's going to say? The first tweet, he's back on Twitter for being gone for so long. What is he going to say?
I don't know.
Whoever's the closest.
Show me the money. No.
I just want to see him troll.
Like, shout out to Samantha.
I'm back.
Here's Trumpy. I just want to say, what do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be a dig on Biden. I think he's,
well,
I
first
think
it's going to be on back. Or something.
Oh,
like
yeah, I don't. I think Biden will be out of it before this whole thing goes through.
I don't know. I think if this goes through, you know, and as soon as it goes through, Elon will reinstate him. I think he will right away. And I think
I think that's more of a FU to the regime. That's the only reason why. I don't know if Elon likes him, hates him, whatnot. I know they were together for the SpaceX launch and they high five, shook hands, and all that because babies. But honestly, if I'm Elon Musk, the first thing I'm doing if I buy this, reinstating Trump. For two reasons. To watch the establishment meltdown beyond belief, because they're melting down now. Because remember, part of the thing when they said Elon had the lion's share of Twitter, right? They came out and fully released the statement and said Donald Trump's account will not be reinstated just because Elon Musk is owns shares now. They made it very clear.
When he owns the whole thing, they don't get a say.
They made it really clear. So right away, if he's buying it, stop censorship, and that's the most censored account, they're doing damage control, and you just added fuel to the fire. It's almost like it was planned.
Yeah,
like
why would that be the official statement from Twitter? Elon Musk just bought us. We're not letting Trump back on. What?
Exactly.
That's your biggest thought right now? This guy just offered you 20% more than the value of your company to buy it, and your first words out of your mouth are, we're not reinstating Trump.
Elon Musk with just doing the original purchase and then the obvious, you know, potential buyout, he exposed it all. He exposed everything. I'm sorry. When people go, he exposed every single person that said, we're for democracy. I'm here to fight for democracy. You know, like you said, Washington Post, democracy dies in darkness, all this. No, it's only in peril when a conservative or anybody that is for freedom says, I'm doing something because you can't control them. That's not democracy. That's totalitarianism. That's authoritarianism. That's communism. So you can't control this guy. Sorry. You know, and they're big scared. Twitter had to give their employees the day off. The day off.
Because they're pussies?
Because they were, you know, and then with the hospital.
All right, so I want to know. Everyone is saying that Twitter is, these policies are most likely being generated by the employees. How many of these employees really give a shit if Trump's on the platform?
Majority.
The vast majority. There is a
you really think so?
Yes, there's a chart that was out there. I should have saved it, that showed what percentage, and it showed all the Silicon Valley tech giants, and it showed what percentage of their employees donated to what party. Twitter, over 95% of their employees donated to the Democratic Party. So yes, and like to Tim's point, they were all having a meltdown. That's why Twitter let them fucking, they were like, okay, so, take the day off.
Happens if Musk buys it and tells them they're not allowed to pull the shit that they've been pulling? You think they're going to leave? Yes. They're going to quit Twitter?
Yeah, they'll go to Facebook. Yeah. They'll go somewhere else.
That's why I was telling Tim. That's why I was telling Tim, look, I'm freaking trying to learn other programming languages, become a developer. I'll fucking go work for Twitter. Hell yeah. As a developer, why not?
So he's going to buy the company for $43 billion, and he's going to let Trump back in, and within, what, a week, he makes his $43 billion back end some.
Oh, yes.
Just because of...
Yes,
I mean,
it brings back everybody who left.
Yeah.
Watch how fast they redo Section 230 if Elon Musk buys this.
Good.
Watch how fast.
If they do that...
Of his what?
The Section 2. So what they would do is, you know, because a lot of... So it's the whole question that we've been talking about. Are these sites platforms? Are they providers? Are they, what are they? Right. And so if they go that route where they're going to remove that safety that all these platforms have, in other words, what somebody tweets on your platform is not, you're not liable for, right? That's what a platform is, right? Somebody puts shit on your platform. That's not your fault as the site owner. But if they do remove that, then good, right? Good, because then you have to apply it across the board. And if Facebook wants to regulate everything that every single one of their users posts, believe me, there will be lawsuits all day, and they won't be able to function. So to your point, Tim, if they go that route, good luck. Good luck. All right. Yep. We got to move on. All right. So it's, again, crazy week. And if you guys haven't seen these videos, I'm going to show you some of this. The government of China shut down Shanghai. And this, again, for another round of lockdowns. And this time around, it's been more strict. And the videos that are coming out are very scary, dude. I think this makes it clear how important the Second Amendment is, because if they tried this shit here, they would not be able to do this for one day. I mean, I'm talking about rounding people, locking people into buildings. I mean, some people were locked into buildings from the outside. Like they were like they were shut in. I don't know if I'll show you the videos, but again, some of these buildings, they have an entrance. And then once you're, you know, you can't get out, that's the exit. And they lock the buildings from the outside so that people are locked in.
God, that's their video. It's a hazard.
Yes,
you think China cares about fires?
The thing is, I'm not going to show you these videos, but I'll describe them. People jumping from the buildings, dude, deciding that it's better to just die than to live like this. And so, I mean, and they, because they can't get out, they can't go see their family. And they, how long has this been going on for, Tim? Two weeks now?
More. It's been going on since March.
But the videos started trickling out recently because they're getting more, you know, strict and more, it's becoming more stringent. And look, to Tim's point earlier, and I'm not, this is another video that I'm not going to show. This is angering. So people were being removed from their house, being put into basically what are called concentration camps. I'm going to show you those videos. And so they're taken away from their home. They leave their pets at home, their cats, their dogs. So what do they do with all those animals that are now not being taken care of? Guess what they were doing?
Euthanizing. I would assume they're euthanizing.
Yeah. Jeremy, it would be. If they were
like
euthanized,
what they did at Chernobyl, right?
Well, if they were euthanized, in other words, you know, inject them or maybe shoot them in the head and be done and over with. Okay. They were putting them in garbage bags, beating them with bats.
Oh, dear God.
I watched a corgi. I watched them chase a corgi down and they killed it with a shovel.
Come on, guys.
The way they're seeing
the videos
it is
that are out there. I'm sorry, Tim. So I saw one video where the guy, and I don't know who's recording this. Some of these videos are from people who are French reporters who are somehow in this country. And she's walking down the street and all you hear are all the animals. Like the streets are empty, but all you hear is the animals in garbage bags crying, like meowing, barking.
Cats.
It's sad, yeah, dude. It moves you because you're like, and all this is to end a quote unquote pandemic. This is evil.
All right, a pandemic that the animals aren't spreading.
No, so the way China sees it as, so the reason why they're killing them, they're testing everything. If they see a bird, they're taking a swab and doing it to the bird. So now they're getting to the point where if you have COVID and I take you, that means your animal's been exposed. I'm killing the animal so that the animal doesn't transfer.
And you have to remember, within the first couple of months that COVID was apparently in the United States or after the lockdowns, remember they came out and they're like the zoo animals, New York City zoo animals are being tested COVID positive. And that was within April and May of 2020, happened. They tried it here. Look, so you're now eliminate freedom that with the freedoms we still do have, as few as they really are. They don't have at all. Zero. Zilch. Nada.
Mm-hmm. PETA, the animal activist? Look, where are all the fucking leftists that love animals?
Somebody put a survey out there during all this as all these videos are dropping. Somebody put a survey out there. And this is obviously only applies in America because, guns are, out everywhere.
What?
The question was, if somebody does this to your animal, would you kill them? Somebody, and I'm going to guess, but it was a vast majority of people.
Oh yeah.
Who said,
I know that survey.
Yeah. You freaking, and that's the thing. Love that's Rocco. How this shit wouldn't happen here. And I think that, look, I we've talked about it on this show. A lot of people place more value in animals than they do in humans. I'm not of that crowd. But if people can at least defend their animals, it stops this fucking madness from ever taking a grip here. I mean, the way that we locked down and the way that we went fucking crazy, okay, first time we didn't know. And we witnessed the government go fucking crazy. A lot of people went fucking power crazy. We know who these governors are. We can name them. Fucking insane. While they were locking
all
their citizens, they were out fucking partying with no fucking masks. Fucking cocksucker. I'm so angry right now. I'm sorry that I'm cursing, but this is angry. Okay, so, and so what China was doing is that even anyone who came in contact with someone who was tested positive for COVID, they were being forced to live. They're being forced to live in quarantine centers for 3 weeks. And this is the first video I'm going to show you. And sorry for the listener, but we'll try to describe it for you. Look at these things, dude. And what you're...
They look like porta-johns.
We saw this in Australia.
Not like this.
So
yeah.
So,
no.
Similar.
So no. Not like
solitary this. Confinement is what it is.
At least in Australia, they had like a little patio to go to.
They had patios. Australia was like a mobile home, basically.
Do you see her
sticking
her
like
head
a
out?
Freaking... These look like what are those boxes called that you can put the storage boxes?
Yeah, they're the shipping containers.
Yeah, they're shipping containers.
It looks like they broke them up into is it like an 8-foot by 8-foot cube with a door on it?
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that's smaller than a jail cell.
What was that scam with Ludacris or whatever the island that all the rich kids were supposed to go to? That's what this looks like.
Oh, here. The fire festival or something.
So what happens fire to festival. Kids? Like, where are they? It's like their parents are like,
oh,
they go there too.
I have a video of that. I'm gonna get there, Samantha. This is gonna anger you. Hundreds of kids separated from their parents, living in like warehouses.
Wait, how could that be? We can't separate children.
Only America does that.
Oh my gosh, America's the only country that separates children
from criminals
from their parents that are coming across the border,
to your question,
right?
Samantha,
right?
This is the video. Children, separated from their parents, and look at how they have them, dude. This is sickening and
that's
angry.
A bed.
No, but this
a crib.
See
it's a crib.
Oh my god!
They got 20, five kids in
no,
a crib
six,
that they're rolling.
There are Ten six kids in that six. Little crib.
Yeah, what happened to social distancing? Why are they jammed into the same crib like that?
People are crazy, bro.
Yeah, well, Roman, like Saul said, Second Amendment.
Good luck. This shit happened. You try to do this. And obviously over there, they're trying to suppress this, right? They're trying to suppress, but people are able to get out these videos. In America, that shit won't happen. You're not going to be able to censor people. And the second a video like this comes out, believe me, you're going to have a bunch of, you know, people riding, you know, freaking Chevys and Fords and going with their guns and blazing everywhere. I believe me, that shit will happen.
Let's pray that happens because it hasn't yet.
Well, so what people need to pay attention to is Washington State was the first state to actually pass a law and actually had job recs out there for like quarantine supervisors and people to work at these quarantine camps because they built them in Washington State. And remember, that's super liberal.
That any police, any healthcare police that tries to enforce this in America, I pray that their days are short. I pray that people have the courage to pull that goddamn trigger to end this fucking. This is angering. This is wrong. When I see a video like this of a child, they have them like fucking sardines in a crib. How else do you describe that?
Doesn't help COVID. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. The level of the sheer level of totalitarianism this communist government has done. And what's sickening is there's people in this country on the left that applaud this and wish this would happen in the United States. That every single conservative, see, they say, oh, all the Trumpers need to go to these camps because they're all the ones carrying COVID. Bitch, who the one? You guys are all quadruple boosted getting COVID at super spreader events last week. So shut the hell up.
Dying of blood cuts.
I want to put your ass in a corner. How about that? Put that in there. How about that? No. We're vaccinated and boosted. And thank God.
We did what the government told us to do.
Yeah.
You guys, oh my God, you guys do this every time. Do you say Trumpers? Trump supported the vaccine. A lot of Trumpers went out and got their vaccines because Trump endorsed it.
Okay, I'm going to say a lot of populists didn't get it because they were like, this guy's crazy. Like, we love Trump, but we're not following him off a cliff. We're not doing that.
I'm just saying it's not just Trump. I mean, anybody who is unvaccinated.
Logical people.
Anybody who's unvaccinated is in a total classification of their own outside of Trump, outside of
the media spins
conservatives. But I understand, but I'm just saying the media can spin it all they want that way. But when it comes down to it, I was just last week I was at a thing for my grandmother's facility, and the amount of people wearing their vaccine cards filled out with all four of their spots because they've had two boosters.
They sell like lanyards that you can put all that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you had to show proof of, when you had to show proof of vaccine, people actually got them laminated because they're like, dude, I can't leave this in my pocket. It's going to get worn out. It's going to get ripped. So I got to be able to, you know, it's got to be pristine.
Mine got super worn out. I know. Ripped up. It's bad. Yeah.
Good thing I had a backup.
It's barely legible.
Damn, I don't even, it's barely legible. Legible. Yeah, I don't even have.
You can barely see her name on it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you had to do this. I know you had to do this, Jeremy. Saul, did you have to do this at your place of employment where they asked your vaccine status back in January?
No.
I didn't do that.
Oh, so we had to answer it. Like we had no, like it was in Workday and you had to put vaccinated, unvaccinated, plant, you know, getting it.
They tried to do that to Jeremy, and Jeremy said, whoa, whoa, whoa.
They only made the people who were going back into the office do it. If you were working full-time from home, they didn't care. Right. So they didn't ask. So
based on the OSHA requirement before the Supreme Court overruled it, the first part was due, and they forced everybody to do it. Like, you couldn't, you were getting nasty grams, your boss was emailing you. And now, you know, I go look at my profile. Ironically, you know, it's still there, even though it's been deemed illegal. My vaccination status. So I'm like, son of a bitch. I'm like, that information was now given to the government. Yeah. Now I'm in a database.
You're on a list.
And I'm on a list that basically says in their mind that I'm a domestic, you know, and when they get to do this, if they get to do this, anybody that's not in their database as quote unquote vaccinated, you are a terrorist. You will be deemed a terrorist and threat.
Get armed, locked, loaded, be ready, bro.
Yeah.
Because you got to stay vigilant. This shit, and there are people, like there were fucking liberals who who are like, yeah, by all means, we need to freaking force people. We need to lock them down. What's happening?
They're arguing about having
more guns. No, I was just telling Heidi I need to buy more guns. And, she's
and
like,
I said, no,
you don't.
He needs to get the fucking house finished.
So, but yes. Before you finish your point, I just got to ask this question. Because you mentioned the leftists and how they want this. How can any logical person...
They're not logical.
Again, how can any person with a brain that can put a few words together to create a sentence go, man, I'm so glad I'm vaccinated that I could still get COVID after my fourth shot and say, wow, if it wasn't for that booster, I would be dead because it happened to my cousin. It happened to my cousin.
They sold it as...
No, check this out. My cousin, I'm not going to say where she works, but at her place of employment, my cousin's not vaccinated. She got COVID. You know, she tested positive. She did her, you know, she went home, worked from home. And when she came back, like people came up to her like shocked that she was alive. They were like, no. I'm being dead serious.
Was this in the medical? She worked in the medical field? Adjacent the, medical field.
Well,
adjacent?
One of their businesses is in healthcare for, you know, certain things.
So it's a big conglomerate.
Yeah. So, but the people that worked there, they were like, oh my God, you're alive? How do you feel? She's like, and her coworkers were like, we had it. We're all vaccinated, boosted, and we got COVID and we felt like 10 times worse than what you said you did.
Yeah.
They were like, we had people go to the hospital. My cousin's like, well, and they were like their eyes just opened up like, I was like, almost lied. I was lied to. You know what I'm saying? Like, they told me I was going to die. Bro, before the vaccines, how many people lived? Nobody ever talked about how many people lived. We all focused on the death counter, but not the
false death counter.
The death counter
that didn't show the accurate death counter.
But a lot of them had comorbidities.
100%. I'm not debating that. But everybody focused on that negative number, but nobody looked at the positive number and go, 99% lived. Mm-hmm. And most of the time,
you're going to live.
And no, I gotta go get this because Fauci said it.
On top of that, kids and people who were healthy and not fucking obese cows, that's why I'm trying to lose weight, were barely impacted by this shit.
Right.
So if the government really was concerned about people not dying from COVID, what they should have been doing, running a campaign is get your fat ass off the couch and get running.
Send everybody a Peloton bike.
Mm-mm, yeah, because...
No, that goes against the decades and decades and decades of the best diet plan ever.
Exactly.
From the U.S. government.
All been lied to. By the way, get on the fucking lion diet. I cannot recommend this more. I promise you, you will not die. You will not crave shit. I mean, of course, I crave chocolate, but promise, I don't get hungry. I don't.
Yes. That, yeah. Okay. Well, we can talk about diet.
We'll talk
later,
about that anyway.
All right. Next.
All right.
So China's a piece of shit. Next.
China's a piece of shit.
We've been talking about him.
I had more videos, but you guys get the gist of it. This is, there's videos of people jumping off buildings, and it's just not one video, guys. It's hundreds of videos of people jumping from their apartment to their death. This is like, you think of 9/11 when people were jumping from the building. They'd rather have died than burn alive. And here are people choosing to die rather than to live in lockdown. There are people who are in prison who are prevented from killing themselves. And now you're telling people you're going to be locked in your house by yourself, not be able to visit your parents. Who knows who's taking care of your parents? See, I'm going to say this because this hits close to home. When my mom got sick during that whole fucking COVID shit, they took her to the hospital. And they didn't let nobody see her. None of us could visit her. Can you imagine? So she was confused. She was crying. It's angering. And it makes me emotional because this is wrong what they did. And that's why I hate it. I hate this. And this was done by people who are like, well, we're just all about health and we're, fuck you, it's suck
bullshit.
A dick.
It's
now, hold on. Let me finish this point because because this, the second time
I'm sorry. I know it's not funny, but. The way you just said that.
That's what I'm laughing at. I'm laughing at the words.
I don't give a fuck.
The words, yeah.
Then my mom gets sick again, okay? And we all made the choice, no, we're not taking her back because we'd rather have her, you know, be with us and she goes to the Lord than have her be alone with the, with those people who are supposed to be all about health, who don't give a fuck.
They don't. And we have a story to talk about that when you're done. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead.
We had a friend of ours got COVID, was in the hospital for weeks, right?
No. Okay. So we had a friend of ours who stayed home and was being treated at home by his wife and was doing everything. And she got to a point where he was, his oxygen levels were dropping, but also his blood, there was something wrong with his heart. And his blood pressure was like ridiculous. And he was going into AFib. And so, of course, the panic struck because what do I do? AFib, heart attack, stroke, those suddenly become the concern. So she called her daughter-in-law and son, and her daughter-in-law works for the doctor. And the doctor goes, get him in there and we'll take care of him. So he shows up at the emergency room, checked in, ready to go, goes like through almost like a back door straight into a room to be treated for, because they know it's COVID. They already knew it was COVID, and for the AFib and everything else. So he's there 8 days before the wife can get in, because the wife was also positive for COVID. They were sick at the same time. So she gets through everything. You know, she breaks the fever. She gets to a point where she's healthy enough that she can get into the hospital, and she's like, she's going in regardless. So for people who didn't know, because a lot of people just didn't know, they're telling them you can't come in here, it's COVID. But the family member didn't know, oh no, you can absolutely go in there. They just didn't raise enough hell to get through the person telling them they couldn't do it. So she raised hell. She gets in there. She goes in to see him day eight, and she's like, sees there's a dirty, the IV needle that they replaced was still laying there for 48 hours. The toilet had shit and piss in it for 72 hours. He hadn't been bathed in the 8 days that he was there.
What?
Okay.
Hell?
So, and this is like one of the best hospitals. This is where you want
to
go.
They wanted to kill him.
And so she's like, what the? So the next, she tells them, I will be here the next day, and this needs to be cleaned up. The dirty needle, the toilet, the whole bit. So the next day she shows up, toilet hadn't been cleaned up. He still hadn't been bathed and taken care of. Okay. So she goes in and she tells us. So we are like, okay, take this. We're giving her pointers because we've been in situations with family in the hospital like this. So she does. And she goes in and she tells them she's getting him out of the bed. She wants the sheets clean. She wants the cleaning crew there. She's bathing him. And they come in and they're like, your 45 minutes is up. And she's like, no, it's not. You can get authorities for all I care, but I will finish what's happening. And I'm not leaving till somebody gets the shit out of that toilet that's been sitting there for now 4 days, because she was there the day before. So they start doing that. After she cleaned him and got fresh sheets on the bed and had the shit cleaned up, within 24 hours, he started to improve. She went every single day. The next day she went, same thing, cleaned him up the best she could, shaved him, but every day. He was there for, I think, a total of like 12 days, but only started improving up until the point of her getting there. He said he didn't sleep. They had him upside down, laying like kind of curved over the edge of the bed, breathing. And he said if he closed his eyes, he was going to die. He knew he was going to die if he closed his eyes. And he would tell himself, breathe, 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 so that he continued to breathe on the machine as they increased the oxygen. I think at one point he was at 14, which is bad.
Trying to kill him.
14 liters of oxygen. And we're talking about a young guy. We're not an old guy. I mean, he was there. Yeah. There's a weight concern there. And there's some other
comorbidity. There's definitely comorbidity.
Yeah. There's definitely underlying health conditions. But they're like, well, whatever. Whatever.
People need to understand this whole thing. They want as many people dead as possible. Sorry.
I don't even necessarily think it's that. They
No, they're actually
when you don't have people coming into a hospital room visiting people, you don't have to maintain the same standards as you do
correct.
When you just lock this person in the back room yep. and say, no one's allowed to visit him.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You're allowed to leave used needles laying on the table next to the patient. You're allowed to leave shit and piss in his
health hazard. Those are all health hazards.
Bedpans.
Yeah.
Right? You're allowed to do that because who's going to come in and say anything about it?
And
the guy in the bed is on his deathbed. He can barely breathe.
Yeah.
He's not looking around making notes going, oh, well, why haven't they done that? Why haven't they done that? He's just trying to hold on to his life.
And honestly, we can use that even to what's happening right now with a personal situation with Jeremy and I. You know, I last week I spent every single day last week in the hospital. I'm like, they're going to know my face. Do you know those damn nurses had the audacity to argue with me about what was best for my family member? Dude, I'm like, you just barked up the wrong fucking tree. I said, I want a cart in here. I'm taking him outside for fresh air. Bring it. Two nurses had the audacity to argue with me. I'm sorry. At no point in time am I giving you authorization to make decisions for my family member. You go get. Now, if I wasn't there, was anybody else going to argue with the nurses? No. It was obvious that on that Tuesday, I was there with multiple family members and nobody was going to make that argument. And I'm like, no. We're going to do this because I said we're going to do this. I went back again a week, well, not quite even a week ago. And this the one woman learned quickly after my first visit, the other woman comes in and she says, he's not getting out of this bed. He is. I've been here every single day. And I've already taken him out of the bed. Get his ass out of the bed. He's not hooked to the catheter. Get his ass out of the bed before I make a scene. They don't want to. Even the doctors are coming in and giving reports. Nobody's asking questions. Oh, what does inconclusive mean? What does it's kind of getting worse mean? What are the numbers? What does it mean?
Zero trust in the medical field anymore. Everything we've witnessed. To bring this all back to China, because there's one point I wanted to make, you know, it's not my point, but you know, one of the things about China is you go research the mandate of heaven. Cause I did a little bit after, you know, certain, you know, a lot of people started posting, like the reason why China is going so crazy is the mandate of heaven. Right. So one of the things that can show that you're not worthy of the dynasty and control anymore is plague. COVID is quote unquote plague. So it shows that if you can't beat this, or if you let this thing beat you, you are no longer worthy of power. And Xi Jinping, if you're trying to be the ultimate supreme communist leader and, you know, be the leader forever, this doesn't look good for you, right? So you have to lock down, because if everybody in China believes in the mandate of heaven, which that is one of the things a lot of Chinese believe, right? They're going to look at Xi Jinping that you're not fit to lead because you let everybody die. You let this disease come into China and kill everybody. And get people sick and take it over. So look into the mandate of heaven. It is an interesting thing of what the Chinese believe. So when it comes to dynasties and power and everything, look into the mandate of heaven. And that's going to...
That's a Chinese translation? Mandate of heaven?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I never
Chinese
heard of
mandate
that.
Of heaven.
All right. Next.
Doctors don't care about you. Doctors don't care about you.
Look, it's like any profession. It's made up of people. And there are people,
right.
All types of
flawed.
Flawed people in the world. Look, are there decent doctors and decent nurses and good people? Of course. There's good people everywhere. But and so that's why I like, you know, those videos of, you know, nurses or whatever, you know, doing TikTok videos of them fucking dancing and shit. And then on the next video, they're like, oh, the work that I did. Bitch, you were fucking dancing on a TikTok video. Shut the fuck up. Stop it. You know what I mean? Like, stop.
And I don't,
drama.
I know I just made the comment about our family members. Look, those doctors and those nurses, they are swamped. I could not believe how full their floor was. And they're putting multiple people into a very small space and trying to manage it. And they're doing the best that they can. And I don't mean to criticize the staff that is I know a lot of doctors and nurses that have their heart in the right place,
and they should have been they should have voiced it. They should have said something. They should have stood up. Look, all of us.
I don't disagree with that.
This was a deterioration and a failure at all levels. Because to your point, even our fearless leader succumbed to that bullshit. So this was a failure, and even we did. We tolerated. But fool me once, right? Fool me once. But if you want to do another round of this, God damn, I hope you do, because you are going to find yourself with a lot of people who are going to resist to this bullshit, and they're not going to put up with this. And sometimes I wish I prefer that than, because it forces change, because people will fight it and they'll say, no, fuck you. You already had your chance. No, this is bullshit. All right. I think we might have to close it out there, because the whole gun control, Biden pushing for gun control.
Oh, let's talk about gun control. I want to talk about gun control.
A bird pooped on him.
I saw that video. It was awesome.
So I can talk about him, because, I mean, look, we can either talk about gun control or his approval numbers are going. Well, I mean, they're one and the same. Okay, so this week, we'll briefly cover this. This week.
Yeah, let's just shoot through it.
Conveniently, in the same week. That there was an attack in New York City. If you've been living under a rock, go find it. There's videos on this. At first, they were like, oh, who did this and blah, blah, blah. What happened?
Wait, hold on. I've been living under a rock.
I didn't know.
Hold on. You're telling me that someone had a gun in New York City?
Yes.
But wait. I thought it was illegal to own a gun in New York
City. Ghost guns. So we got to take everybody's guns away to stop ghost guns. It wasn't even a ghost gun.
I'm confused. They have laws against that sort of thing. Don't laws stop bad people with guns?
Yeah. It also stops people from doing drugs.
I'm so confused.
Not only that, Jeremy, but here's another thing. New York City got rid of all the police officers in their subways because police officers are racist and they were causing issues in the subway system. Oh, they got rid of the police officers. And now, guess what happens? A gunman finds his way into the subway system and kills a bunch of people. And guess what? He was a black supremacist. I'm not even making this shit up.
A black supremacist. Did he use an AK-47?
He used the Glock, put out 30 rounds, No.
Every mass shooting, every domestic terrorist, they all use AR-15. So you got it wrong. It's not a Glock. Right. It's an AR-15 or an AK-47. It's a machine gun. He used a machine gun.
Think about this.
You got it all wrong. You're all wrong.
No, it's wrong for a lot of reasons.
He's drunk.
The minute the description of the suspect. No, the minute the description came out, the media went silent.
I need a record scratch right there.
Media went silent on this. They want you to forget this ever happened. Yeah. They want it. Just like they never woke a show where the guy drove an SUV into a Christmas parade and killed people and children.
That was an automatic SUV.
And they said,
that was a
semi-automatic. What killed people. It wasn't the person.
Fully automatic.
But Grand Rapids has a police shooting. Like, oh, police are racist. And we all got to protest and burn down buildings again.
We got to ban assault.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
No, I seriously assault did bans. Not hear about this. The shooting.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's how good.
And I watch.
Oh, yeah. It was done by a black man, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, no. And when I say that he was a black supremacist, I'm not even kidding. There were videos trickled out after that. By the way, all social medias try to hide. But you know what? The internet is forever. And people say this shit because they really removed his account and all those videos were gone. But then people were like, well, nope, I've saved it. And so they were publishing his videos that he had posted. Where he's talking about
a nasty fuck.
Yeah, he was being racist against Asians. I mean, think of every racist epithet against Asians, against Hispanics, against whites. He was using all of
Jews.
Them.
Yeah, he loved Farrakhan apparently too.
Yeah, and so here is this guy. And by the way, he was morbidly obese. COVID didn't take him because COVID.
Wait. I just need to know: was he vaccinated? And did he have the boosters?
He was wearing a mask.
That's the important thing.
Yeah.
He's fine. Just let him go. He was wearing the mask. He's vaccinated and he's boosted. It's fine.
So what's strange about this is that conveniently this happens in the same week that Biden now is trying to push for gun control, right? Because, and I want to play you what he said because what happened?
I need to buy more guns.
Yeah.
So before you play the video,
I lost all my guns in the lake. Yeah, so Tanya and I were out there and we lost them all.
Remember, Biden has been pushing gun control forever. But why is Biden now pushing gun control all of a sudden? Because Let's take it back to last week.
People when they're
But let's take it back to last week. What happened last week is very important. There was a mass shooting in like the Sacramento area of Sacramento, California area. Right. There was a mass shooting. Right. There was three shooters involved, and ironically, one of them got let out on bail like the day after he got
arrested. Yeah, I did hear it.
But anyway, so there's that mass shooting. All the oh my god, woe is me type stuff happens. Oh, we got to ban guns and gun control in this. Biden then says, to your point and the videos you're going to play, we need gun control. And this is all lining up in some another weird conspiracy, but you can only go so far when you go, no, it's not a conspiracy, guys.
So I'm confused. Why is the government and the news all bent out of shape about the gun and not the person that used the gun?
Because what happens, every narrative.
See, you don't know this, Jeremy, but what happens is that as soon as you grab a gun, it takes a hold of you and it makes you do shit.
Yeah, yes, that's right. It's like a, you know,
it possesses you.
Possesses you. Yeah. You know?
Oh, I've seen Poltergeist. Is it like that?
Yeah, yeah.
The
like your head spins, it goes too. Against the narrative. It goes against every narrative.
Oh,
dude, I'm not for nothing. You know what? Because I get tired of this crap. If that was a white shooter, Caucasian shooter, cop, this would be 24/7, 365 in your face news. How we got to abolish the people, the white people need to be dead, and everything they've been saying forever. But the minute the narrative is shit, we can't say who the suspect is because now that goes against everything we've been saying about equity, diversity, and everything else, and that it's white people that are the biggest threat to, you know, our narrative of white supremacy. But it's like, shit, all these guns, all these, you know, mass shootings and everything, it ain't done from white people. Asian hate, you know, every video I've seen, yes, do white people do this shit? Absolutely. But every video we've been seeing goes against their narrative, okay? So they have to go back to the weapon. The guns. The gun got in his hand and he decided to shoot. No, these people hate people. These people have serious conditions.
Jeremy, I just want you to remember before all the guns got thrown in the river and you had that incident.
We didn't throw them.
Hold on. Just do you remember how many times you just laid it on the table and it grew legs and arms and all of a sudden was shooting stuff?
That's true. They were very
which was
unreliable.
Phenomenal since there was zero ammunition. Yeah.
Media caused
zero.
All these.
So that's what happened.
You could hear the trigger getting pulled, but we didn't have it loaded.
That's
so
what
they
happened.
Shooting
that's
anybody.
What the problem is right there. There you
they're,
go. Yeah, okay.
They're dangerous.
Next.
I know we got to play the video.
President Biden cracking down on guns as America faces the impact of a historic crime wave. The president accused of having misplaced priorities and going after firearms and the Second Amendment instead of focusing on putting criminals behind bars. The president
Who's he
announced
smelling?
A ban on so-called ghost gun kits, which are privately made firearms with untraceable parts, ordering his Department of Justice to make it illegal for a business to manufacture them.
These guns are weapons of choice for many criminals.
Always angry.
We're
weapons
do everything
of
we
choice.
Can to deprive them of that choice. And when we find them, put them in jail for a long, long time. If you commit a crime with a ghost gun, expect federal prosecution. I just say, expect federal prosecution. This rule is an important step. It's going to sound bizarre. I support the Second Amendment.
I'm going to prostitute myself.
From the very beginning, the Second Amendment didn't say you can own any gun you want, as big as you want.
Yeah,
you
it does.
Buy a cannon.
Yeah, it does, asshole.
He said,
shut
way,
the fuck
you,
up, asshole.
Said, if you listen to what he said, it never applied to owning cannons. Lie.
It did.
You could own a cannon.
That got debunked. Yeah, that got really debunked. Quick. Like,
all right, I'm gonna keep playing. Keep playing this lie.
And certain people from the very beginning weren't allowed to purchase guns. It's nothing new. It's just rational.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to cut him off. But let me say, okay, who wasn't allowed to own guns during that time?
Black people.
Not only black people.
Minorities.
Women, minorities.
Minorities.
So here's the deal. Do you think if black slaves were allowed to own guns, do you think they would have been slaves?
No,
not for very long.
Oh, okay. Let's keep playing this shit. No, no logic, motherfucker.
He's a racist. Joe Biden's a racist.
Capacity magazines. What the hell you need 20 bullets for? You must be a hell of a terrible
you,
shot.
To protect me from you, you fuckhead.
With recreation.
It's not meant. The Second Amendment says nothing about recreational.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand why people think that. Well, people bought that. But you don't need 20 rounds to go hunting. The Second Amendment has nothing to do with hunting.
They don't know what the Second Amendment says. That's the problem.
They are changing the rules.
Right, they're changing words, right?
They're changing the meaning of the rules, saying, oh, everybody wants guns because of hunting.
No. Where in the Second Amendment does it say the word hunting?
Right, when you get the same DNC talking points that they're going to run on, this is what they will have to say. And then eventually, when you tell a lie so many times, eventually that lie becomes truth. Nancy Pelosi even said that herself. And you're seeing it. Everybody still thinks that Trump was with the good
ringleader
people, bad people, you know, folks. Yeah. That whole thing. That's been debunked 10,000 times, and they still say it. And they go, see, Trump is still a racist. I'm like, oh, my God. But anyway.
Well, what's beautiful, what's happening is that, see, and this is the genius in the country. Again, not a lot of countries have this, which is the sovereignty to a certain extent of the states. States can govern themselves to a certain point. If it's not covered in the Constitution, if it's not restricted there, the states can govern themselves. And states, a lot more states are now passing the constitutional carry.
Georgia's the last one, and it's a
beautiful thing to watch. Now, because of this, because a lot of shit is going wrong for Biden, from the economy, from the border, from everything down. His poll numbers are dwindling, folks. I mean, he's losing double-digit declines. I want to show you just this here. This alone should show you how bad this guy's doing. And maybe this is why Obama ignored him, because his poor performance. 61% disapproval in his handling of crime. 62% disapproval on his handling of immigration, 63% on the economy. These are dwindling numbers. This week, inflation hit a 8.5%. That's high numbers.
Hold on. Why? So according to this chart, 31% of the people polled approve of his handling of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
How do you approve of inflation at record levels?
One thing,
because
you
they ask rich people.
No, well, what? No, there's not that many.
No,
Jeremy, see, this is the thing. And when you got to take this with a grain of salt, because who is doing the polling? This is CBS News. So you know that their questions are going to be biased. So even with their biased questions, they get these results. I believe that number is fucking higher. I don't think he has a 31% approval rate.
Yeah. And remember that test we took that Saul and Tim sent us? And we had to answer questions about certain things, and it told you whether you were conservative or liberal or whatever the test. And remember,
the wheel.
And remember how many of those questions you and I were reading out loud to each other, and we're both like, what the fuck is this question even asking right now?
Right.
So those kind of questions are also in the mix of this, where you're like, what exactly, how the way they word certain things, and you have a very large population of people that are so ignorant that they don't know when the Declaration of Independence was signed. They don't know what Independence Day means, or Labor Day, or so you have to pull. They're pulling those numbers too from the ignorant 18 and 19 year old kids that are just straight up dumb.
Well, and I don't necessarily, it could be ignorance, but I think there's also a lot of people that are just diehard Democrats, and they will refuse to say anything bad
about a Democrat. I don't think it's that high of a percent.
Hold on. A lot of these liberals believe that we should be paying high prices for gas because of for climate change.
Right.
So when they say inflation, everyone's equating inflation to gas prices, but inflation is much more than gas prices. Right. It's your food costs. It's this. I mean, right. Sammy, I mean, think about it. You got a family of four, right? Pretty healthy family, right? You guys eat right. Think about it. How much has your food cost gone up for a family of four? Can I know they got a family of four as well. How much has your food bill gone up in the last 6 months?
Honestly, I couldn't even tell you. It's a lot. Because I was at the store the other day, and I was looking, I was like, bread? Like, I swear it was like $4, and I was like, milk is like $5. And I was like, when did these prices get like this? It's crazy.
Oh my God. I don't know where you're shopping, but I need to help you.
You're very fortunate, right? I mean, all of us are very fortunate because we have very, we're,
we have very good paying jobs, right?
Okay. So,
so when we see it, well, hold on. So when we see it, we're like, ah, yeah, this is expensive, but it's like, okay, I can still manage it because my bills are paid. I have a partner that has a good job. It's still, I don't want these high prices, but we like, okay, hopefully it goes down. But think about that.
Okay.
Think about if you're poor and, you know, from $1.99 a gallon for milk to $5, you're going, what the hell?
And yeah. So hold on. Cause we're not paying that much for milk, but Jeremy and I, and I'm going to be very specific in numbers because I am a food dollar whore. And I'm going to explain why I say this.
Jesus.
And this is families don't realize the impact of the food. Hmm? And I'm going to, they do the gas. The gas is right there in their face. You can't change that dollar when you pull up to put gas in your vehicle. And to your point, Timmy, but food. So in December of 2021, I went and I bought us the same beef sirloin roast that I have been buying for years and years and years. Okay. And it was $63 for my slab of beef that I always have bought that used to be $32. So I used to pay $32 for this slab of beef. In December, it was double. And I come home and I'm like, Jeremy, holy shit. Cause the food bill was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And I said to him, you're going to go with me shopping next time. Because I was feeling like I'm spending this kind of money on groceries and you got to know I'm not spending it on extra stuff. Right. Okay. So we go back one month later, and I go to pull the same slab of beef off the fridge and it's $32 again. It's half the price from a month before.
Have to wait.
And I'm like, what the? And I said, Jeremy, and then I look at it because everything I buy based on price per pound, price per ounce, price per fluid, whatever it is, right? And so I pull it off and I'm going, it's half, there's no way. And I turn and I look, and to your point, it was half the damn weight. How many Americans don't realize that? They're buying it, they're taking it home, they're making their, and I know this, I can tell you right off the top of my head, four people recently that I've talked to, and they're like, they didn't realize that there was a price in their food that was different because they took the same thing home that they thought they were taking. They split it the way they usually split it. And maybe they didn't have the leftovers. Maybe they didn't throw people away leftovers.
It.
Maybe
people realize it. People pay attention.
It's to an extent, but not everybody. Not everybody. More I'm just, I realize. Told you just four people that I know, conservatives that I know, did not realize that their grocery bill had gone up over the month because they went and bought their stuff. They cooked, they made do with what was there and they weren't throwing away leftovers. I can tell you the average family member before all this shit happened, probably threw away leftovers every day.
People that live check to check, see it. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. The people that's what I say, people like us that are very fortunate to have a really good job. Yes, we see it. We're aware of it, but it hits our pocketbooks, but not as much as if you're a family of four living off a salary of $45,000 a year, $50,000, you're seeing every aspect of it.
Right. When you're even the elderly that are on a fixed income.
Fixed income people.
Right. Yes, they
as well.
You know, a retired couple or whatever, they get X number of dollars a month from the federal government for Social Security, and all of a sudden they're paying twice as much for gas, twice as much for food. How does that work?
We
you know?
Are very fortunate. When I say rich, it's not the Elon Musk. We are considered rich now to a lot of people, okay? Yep. Because we can afford a lot. Well, we can afford to go to the bar. We can say, you know what? I'm going to go spend $200 on three pairs of jeans today. Because you know why? I have a really good paying job. I got plenty of money at bank. There's more people that can't write a check for $1,000 a month, you know, for a check for $1,000 that can. Because more people in this country live check to check.
Well, I mean, it's the point we've always been making, right? Which is inflation is taxation, which is theft.
Yeah.
They've inflated the dollar. It takes more to buy the same products that we wanted.
It's disgusting.
But I just wanted to show just one more poll here, which shows you that there's a tsunami coming. Mm-hmm. And if we look at these numbers here, as far as the congressional races out there, what's going to happen? Again, this is the Republicans are going to take back control and they're going to get a super majority here based on these numbers. Because, and so I'll describe these. So men who attended college in 2018, Democrats controlled that plus 16. Today, Republicans up 10. That's a 26 point shift. That's I mean, if you talk to any, you know, political strategist and ask them, you know, what do you think about these numbers? I mean, these are Ronald Reagan 1984 numbers, dude. No, I'm sorry, 1980 numbers. After Jimmy Carter fucking, and we are, this is Jimmy Carter era right now with the issues.
Worse.
Exactly. With worse issues, international issues that we're seeing right now. With the inflation issues that we're having, with the gas prices, all of that, and you're seeing it in the polls. You're seeing it in people, and again, these polls are conducted by leftist or liberal outlets. So I would say add four, plus five to that, and that number now becomes even more significant. Men with no college degrees. In 2018, were Republican plus 8. Now it's plus 20. That's a 12-point increase for the Republicans. Women in college, Democrats controlled that comfortably. 34 points in 2018. Again, this was during Trump's midterms. Now it's Democrats 38. It's plus 4 for the Democrats. Women in college. This is why the 19th Amendment should be abolished.
So, but, real but quick,
women,
Heidi.
Women. So hold on. But I'm gonna say the last one. Women with no degree, Democrats plus 3 in 2018, plus 1. So it's a 2-point shift for the Republicans.
Yeah.
So if these poll numbers, what they should tell you is that colleges are doing a great job of indoctrinating women.
Yes.
That's this is what those, these polls tell you. Yeah.
And unfortunately, those women, then, you know, a guy marries that woman, and that woman basically fills out the ballot for their husband and says, we're mailing this in because we don't want to get COVID. And now that guy just voted for Joe Biden when he really didn't want to.
Okay. So we're going to close this out I just wanted to show you guys a funny note, and we'll have to close it out. The rise of the machines might not be, might not be that bad, because this TikTok proves it. I'm going to show you this video. This is funny.
So it's a guy in a biohazard suit riding a hoverboard, dragging a Red Ryder wagon behind him, and he bails it in the parking lot.
I love it.
Mandate of heaven,
guys. I could watch
Mandate
that all day.
I mean, that's like watching fat people fall down. I can watch that all day.
Oh, wow.
All right, folks, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. We're just on Instagram, by the way, for now. Give us a follow, hit the like button, share some of the content, and we are going to catch you on the next one. Thank you. Adios.
Guten Tag.
Later.
See ya.
Joe Biden got pooped on.
He totally got pooped on.
Pooped my pants.
And we didn't even talk about it. It was awesome. He got shit on by a bird. Even the birds know that he's worthless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Salty Show.com.